Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, Tooling Around: DHS Helps Students Shed Geometry Fears, by Carol Rome, Danville. As the framework for the walls of a large shed was being constructed, Danville High School woodworking teacher John Greenhall realized there was a problem. Once assembled, the 12-foot by 8-foot by 11-foot shed would be too large to fit through the school's doorways to reach the gym, where it was supposed to be on display next week at the Meet the Vikings elective fair. So the dozens of students who are in the Geometry in Construction class quickly began work last week on a smaller 4-foot by 6-foot replica of their shed to display at the fair. "We got more work done on Friday than we did in 2 weeks," said Chris Moeller, who co-teaches geometry and construction with Greenhall, as well as teaches algebra classes at DHS. "We'll leave it as a skeleton with rafters," Greenhall said of the replica. "It will be cooler to look at." The elective fair, which will take place during the school day on January 22nd and 23rd, will allow Northridge Middle School's 8th graders and DHS freshmen and sophomores and juniors to learn more about the elective classes and programs they can take next school year. Parents of current DHS students and parents of Northridge 8th graders also will have an opportunity to learn more about the elective offerings during a special showing from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, January 22nd, during Parents' Night. The shed project is one of several woodworking projects the DHS students have been working on in the Geometry in Construction class, which is part of the Career and Technical Education, or CTE, program at the school. Some of the other projects include constructing a wooden box, a wooden tongue drum, and a cutting board with decorative woodburning on it. Dan Heil, who is the chair of DHS's Applied Technology Department and the Work Experience and Career Exploration Program, or WECEP, coordinator, said, "This is a brand new class for us this year. For the first 9 weeks, students learn about woodworking and construction skills before working individually on projects," he said. During a typical week at school, the students switch back and forth between studying geometry in a classroom setting with Moeller and applying those geometry lessons in the workshop as they work on projects with Greenhall. "Geometry is difficult for a lot of students," Moeller said. "Algebra is just an equation that needs to be figured out, but with geometry, they have to know the situation before applying the geometry equation. Here in the woodshop, they see the situation, and that helps a lot to understand geometry," he said. Students need more hands-on learning that they don't get in a traditional math class. Greenhall said most of his students have had little to no exposure to tools or woodworking equipment prior to taking the Geometry in Construction class. The lathe, however, is a favorite among the students. "There's something magical about the lathe with the wood chips flying," he said. "Our students have a low amount of experience with woodworking when they get here," Greenhall said. "They've overcome a lot to even come to class, so we don't expect them to become professional woodworkers overnight. I tell people we're not creating birdhouse builders, we're creating problem solvers," he said. DHS student Makai Kantz, who is interested in having a welding career someday, said construction is really fun and the teachers are entertaining. "Geometry is usually boring, but this class makes it interesting." Mackay said constructing a shed is the biggest project he's worked on, aside from putting together some assembly-required furniture at home. DHS sophomore Desia Gamble, one of only two female students in the class, said her only prior experience with tools or construction was learning how to use a hammer in Girl Scouts. "I signed up for this class because I wanted to have the life skill of building something," she said. "I was kind of nervous about handling the tools, but not now." In addition to helping build a shed, Desia said she has built a model house and a small staircase during class. "I really wanted to take this class, even if I don't go into construction, for the life skill," Desia said. "Not only does the class teach life skills, but also safety." "Safety is a priority," Greenhall said. "We've been training the students to stop if they see something dangerous. I try to watch all of them, but they also have to be each other's safety check." A GoPro digital camera suspended high over the woodshop area has been snapping photos during the course of a few weeks to document the students' progress in building the large shed. The goal is to build 6 large sheds by the end of the school year. Greenhall and Moeller have bigger plans for the geometry and construction class if it gains popularity and momentum in the next several years. "We want to be self-supporting," Greenhall said. "We want to build a quality product that we can sell that can fund the program. I want to show the students how to be more than a hobbyist and to get them to think for the better good of the community," he added. One such project this school year pairs the DHS students, who are members of Future Problem Solvers, with the woodworking students to build elevated small animal safe haven hutches that will be installed at area humane societies to provide a safer option for surrendering pets after hours. A loftier future goal Greenhall has is to have his students help construct a Habitat for Humanity house. "We would take the plans for a house and have the students pre-build it in sections, then take it to the Habitat for Humanity site and assemble it there," he said. "We also would have to teach plumbing and electricity." Another project that is on the horizon is constructing small, toddler-sized houses if a grant or some type of funding could be secured to launch the plan, Moeller said. After the students met the hard deadline of building a small shed in time for the elective fair, Muller said, "We made the decision to start building little toddler-sized houses that could be used in the community. We just want the program to be self-sustaining and to get the community involved," he said. Next, we'll go to the article, "Can City Be Next Hometown? Officials to launch effort to land spot on HGTV series," by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Could Danville be the next town featured in a new HGTV television series? That's the hope of Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and a number of residents and former residents who have alerted city leaders about a nationwide search for a new town for a new HGTV series entitled Hometown Takeover. Earlier this month, HGTV announced it was launching a nationwide call to find towns that could use some of the hometown touch. Fans of the popular HGTV series Hometown already know Aaron and Ben Napier restore and revitalize old and historic homes in their hometown of Laurel, Mississippi. Ben and Aaron also have played a pivotal role in helping revitalize the city's downtown while preserving and celebrating the town's architectural treasures, endemic charm, and historic features, according to HGTV. Now, Ben and Aaron are looking to take their show and skills on the road to another town. According to HGTV, they are looking for a town for a whole town overhaul. It's all elemental to the same overarching mission. Helping to create and foster a town persona that draws on its roots, histories, and traditions, says HGTV. Through February 4th, any citizen of a small town, meaning population of 40,000 or less, who loves their hometown can go to hgtvhometowntakeover.com and show, tell, and sell HGTV on why theirs is the one town most deserving to be featured in the special 6-episode series. Applicants are to highlight aspects of their town that make it special, fascinating, historic, or unique, including distinctive features like vintage period architecture, special destinations, or a classic main street. If selected, the town's citizens can expect the rehab of multiple individual family homes and the revitalization of public spaces, such as parks, local diners or restaurants, and outdoor recreation areas. The show is slated to air in 2020. "This is a big one," Aaron said on HGTV's website. HGTV has never, ever taken on a whole town renovation and restoration project, and we're so proud and excited to be leading the team that will get it done. Some of those photos and videos, show us those photos and videos. Tell us what makes your town special and how you'd like us to make it better. You may see us in your town soon, says the website. Renovating one house at a time is an awesome experience. But the chance to support an entire town, where we help bring a community back to life, that's something we've always wanted to try, Ben added on HGTV's website. At Tuesday night's Danville City Council Public Works Committee meeting, Williams said, "We have something already in the works." When resident Julie Carlson brought up the television renovation opportunity, he, in addition to some residents, say they think this opportunity would be great and really benefit Danville. Williams said Second Church of Christ will help put together a video submission. "A meeting on Thursday will help work out more of the details," Williams said. He said once they have more detailed plans, they'll ask the public to get involved with the submission. We'll now go to the death notices. Susan G. Steindorfer, 66, of Danville, passed away on January 11, 2020. A celebration of life will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 17th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Memorial Park. Visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Robert Jean Papp Foster, 90, of Rossville, passed away on January 13th. Per his wishes, cremation rites will be accorded and no services will be held. Helen Corzine, 90, of Fithian, passed away on January 11th. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesday, January 15th, with funeral service starting at 2 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will take place at Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. Memorials may be made in her name to the Alzheimer's Association. Stephen R. Stacy, 72, of Danville, passed away on January 11th. Funeral services are at 11 a.m. on Thursday, January 16th, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. Burial will follow in Lutheran Cemetery in Danville. The family will receive friends from 10 a.m. until service time on Thursday at Trinity Lutheran Church. Memorials to Trinity Lutheran Church. Larry Melvin Hughes, 49, of Danville, passed away on Monday, January 13th. Funeral service will be at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, January 17th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Burial in Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, January 16th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Memorials to Larry Melvin Hughes Memorial Fund at the Catlin Bank. Harold W. Kundiff, 94, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, January 12th. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, January 14th, at First Funeral Home in Clinton, Indiana. Funeral services will follow at 1 p.m. Eastern at the funeral home. Burial will follow at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. Lois Ellis, 83, of Danville, passed away on January 8th. Donations may be made in Lois's name to a local animal organization. Sally Ann Nixon, 77, of Danville, passed away on January 12th. A celebration of life service will be at 10 a.m. on Thursday, January 16th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation from 4 to 7 p.m. the evening prior on Wednesday, January 15th, at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Sally's name to Second Church of Christ or Carl Hospice. We'll go now to an article titled Police Address Speeding Concerns, a staff report. Danville. The Danville Police Department recently conducted extra speed patrols in specific areas due to citizen complaints and concerns. The police department has recently received complaints of vehicles traveling at high rates of speed over the posted speed limit in the 2200 block of Denmark Road, specifically over the Dallas-Bowman Bridge. During the department's speed enforcement details, officers have witnessed several vehicles traveling up to 20 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. You can imagine the danger that comes with traveling up to 20 miles per hour or more in any area, according to Commander Terry McCord in a release. In recent efforts, within the last 2 weeks, the department has enforced up to 15 violations on the Dallas-Bowman Bridge. The police department is also concentrating on school zone enforcement throughout Danville. The department's goal in traffic enforcement is safety and education, and the department asks the public to pay attention to speed limit signs and slow down. One of the biggest causes of traffic crashes in Danville is speed. The department's priority is not to issue tickets, but to slow people down and make them realize the danger of driving too fast and the lives it can change. Tips to give the driving public when it comes to speed: think ahead and give yourself extra time to get to appointments and certain locations. And if you have to choose between arriving late and safe or not arriving at all, please choose late and safe. And next we'll go to Women Veterans Invited to Photo Event, another staff report. Danville. Women veterans across the state of Illinois are invited to Danville's VA Illiana Healthcare System from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday to participate in the I Am Not Invisible campaign. The event will take place in Building 98, Room 2101. Illiana has partnered with Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs on this nationwide effort to raise awareness about the contributions of women veterans, according to a release. There are 49,000 women veterans living in Illinois, with about 2,300 served at Illiana. The photographer for the I Am Not Invisible photo shoot will be Eugene Russell, photographer to Secretary of U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie. Originally produced by the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, the main goal is to use this project as a conduit for increasing the visibility of women veterans throughout Illinois to honor their service and celebrate their accomplishments. The photographs will be showcased as a virtual exhibit. VAIHCS is honored and excited to host this event, partnering with Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs for this campaign that puts faces to women veterans, raising awareness and dialogue about women veterans, as well as open viewers' eyes to the myriad of contributions, needs, and experiences of women who have served in the military, said Melissa Spady, Acting Public Affairs Director, in a release. To register for the events, visit eventbrite.com/e/i-am-not-invisible-illinois-photo-suit-tickets-88568523839. For information on the event, contact Public Affairs at 217-554-5084. And now for some local news in sports, we'll head to the article Wrong Way, Danville Drops Sixth Straight Loss to Urbana by Chad Dare. Coming into the 2019-2020 prep basketball season, the expectations for the Danville Vikings were sky high. Danville was returning four starters from a team that set a school record with 31 victories. Things were still on a positive path after winning the Consolation Championship at the prestigious Pontiac Holiday Tournament, as the Vikings took a 9-3 record in the 2020 portion of the year. But a knee injury for junior Tevin Smith, along with flu-like symptoms for junior Nathaniel Hoskins, have been part of a five-game losing streak. Hoskins was back on Tuesday night, but that didn't matter to the Urbana Tigers, who raced past the Vikings in a 66-49 victory, handing Danville its sixth straight setback. This is becoming a major problem, Danville coach Darrell Robinson admitted. I just want pride. We need to represent Danville the way we know how. That comes down to pride and effort. So what is going wrong for the Vikings, who fell to 9-9 with the loss? That's what we are trying to figure out, said Hoskins, who returned to action with a team-high 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. We don't really know. We can't blame it on not having Tevin. We need to figure something out. When we get down, we don't have the same fight back that we had at the start of the year. We need to get that back. After all, this is a Danville team that overcame an 11-point deficit to win at Bloomington on December 13th. On Tuesday night, Urbana made 4 of its 5 three-pointers in the game's first 6 minutes to take a 12-8 lead, and the Tigers held the lead of 25 of the game's final 26 minutes. A big problem for the Vikings in the first half was just making shots. Danville missed 6 layups, and the Vikings were 4 of 8 at the free throw line in the first half as they trailed 33-29 at halftime. We were frustrated out of the gate, Robinson said. We missed numerous layups, which I knew would come back and cost us, and we missed free throws. Those are the two easiest shots in the game. We put effort in practice on both of those, even extra time. We just have to perform. But that wasn't the biggest disappointment for Robinson. In the final two quarters, Urbana shot 50%, with 12 of those baskets coming from either layups or shoots within a few feet of the hoop. Our defense was disgusting, Robinson said. We couldn't keep anyone in front of us. They did whatever they wanted to do in the second half. They just wanted it more than us. They rebounded hard. They came out and did what they wanted to do. And just how bad was it? This is a major step backwards, said Robinson, who has constantly stressed improvement and seen the big picture. We pride ourselves on getting better and moving forward, but this is a major step backwards. Give credit to Urbana. They came ready to play, and they did what they had to do to win this game. Robinson also gave credit to Hoskins for playing at less than 100%. It took a lot for him to even get out on the floor tonight, Robinson said. And he played heavy minutes. He did all that he could do. We just need some other guys to step up. Hoskins admitted he was probably only at 75%. I knew that I was good enough to play, but I was still trying to get over this sickness, he said. The junior guard is hoping that he can lead Danville back on a positive direction. Instead of thinking about these losses, we need to think about what it takes to win and get our confidence back, he said. Joining Hoskins in double figures on Tuesday night was junior guard Devin Miles, with 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Robinson was also pleased with senior forward John Ward, for coming off the bench with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Urbana's Christopher Cross had a game-high 21 points and 12 rebounds, while Bryson Tatum finished with 19 points and 7 rebounds. Up next for Danville is a Friday home game with Peoria Notre Dame, ranked number 6 in Class 3A. In Tuesday's sophomore conference, Urbana rallied for a 57-52 win over Danville. Martez Rhodes had 19 points and 11 rebounds in the losing cause. Now, with the time we have left, let's go to the community brief section for some updates going on in the area. In Danville, Library plans events. The Danville Public Library will celebrate civil rights activist Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday with crafts and a documentary in the children's room. The documentary, 10 Things You May Not Know About Martin Luther King Jr., will be shown throughout the day. It's for children ages 5 through 12. Also, fundraiser set. Culver's of Danville at 3210 North Vermilion Street will donate a portion of its sales from 5 to 8 p.m. on Monday to raise funds for L.L. Lockhart Danville de Molloy. In Fairmount, bee classes set. Beginning beekeeping workshops will be on February 1st at Training Center at Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Learn the basics from David Burns, who is an EAS certified master beekeeper with more than 25 years of experience. A fee is charged for the class. For information and to sign up, go to honeybeesonline.com or call the office at 217-427-2678. And in Hoopston, gospel concert planned. The Lorraine Theater at 324 East Main Street will present Jake's Boys, an 8-member Central Illinois Southern Gospel group, at 7 p.m. on Saturday. State Representative Tom Bennett is a member of Jake's Boys. Mike Dalton of Georgetown also will perform. A free will donation will be accepted. And finally, we'll go to the update. NSA finds major security flaw in Windows 10, by Matt O'Brien at the Associated Press. The National Security Agency has discovered a major security flaw in Microsoft's Windows 10 operating system that could let hackers intercept seemingly secure communications. But rather than exploit the flaw for its own intelligence needs, the NSA tipped off Microsoft so that it can fix the system for everyone. Microsoft released a free software patch to fix the flaw Tuesday and credited the intelligence agency for discovering it. The company said it has not seen any evidence that hackers have used the technique. Amit Uran, CEO of security firm Tenable, said, "It is exceptionally rare, if not unprecedented, for the U.S. government to share its discovery of such a critical vulnerability for a company." Uran, who was a founding director of the Department of Homeland Security's Computer Emergency Readiness Team, urged all organizations to prioritize patching their systems quickly. An advisory sent by the NSA on Tuesday said, "The consequences of not patching the vulnerability are severe and widespread." That's all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, January 15th, 2019. Thanks for joining me today.